Thank you, Laura. Great song of thankfulness, you know, what we go through and some of the struggles. You know, I'm thankful I'm not in school anymore. You think about being thankful. You know, I haven't had this dream in a while. I'd wake up and I'd have a big term paper due in seminary or something and, you know, wake up and sweat. I don't remember, know if you in school, maybe it was high school, if you ever had to read the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. Some of you probably had to do that, and I don't know if I did or not. I can't remember some of that. So I went back and reread some things and some excerpts from that. Harriet Beecher Stowe, of course, wrote that classic novel, Christian perspective on a lot of that. And there was this slave in the story who was about to get his freedom because he'd saved a little girl and all these. I won't tell the whole story, but he's about to get his freedom, but the fellow dies, and he's not able to do that, and he gets sold to a guy named Simon Legree. And Legree demands that Tom deny his faith and live for the devil. And Tom replies, and I wrote it down, "I'll hold on. The Lord may help me or not help me, but I'll hold to him and believe him to the last." Well, Legree just really steps up his cruelty and all these things, and so Tom weakens and he kind of falls along the way, except one night, and he's sitting there, and he's there by a fire, and this fire is dying out, and he sees this vision, and he says this: "There was one crowned with thorns, buffeted and bleeding." And as he's watching this and he sees this vision, the crowns become rays of heavenly glory. It just translates before him. And there's a figure there, and the figure encourages him with the promise of heaven for those who overcome as the Lord has overcome. Now, Tom, at this time, starts to sing, and he starts to sing Amazing Grace. And he gets, and he changes up, and he gets to the last stanza there, and he says, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." And so then he devotes himself to wholeheartedly to sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with his fellow slaves. Simon Legree has Tom brought out and whipped to tell where he's hidden the slaves, and he won't, and he whips him to death. He kills him. It's a sad story in some ways. It's interesting because not many years after the publication of that novel, slavery was outlawed. And much of that was because of the Christian influence in trying to move to defeat that horrible, horrible thing of slavery. But it's the power of amazing grace that changes our lives, that gives us hope. See, because he had hope, he had tomorrow because of his grace that God had given him, that amazing grace. Well, let's pray together. Father, as we've been kind of going through this journey together about grace and the influence, God, your grace has had upon our lives, we just want to return thanks this morning and pray that as we spend just a few moments around different scriptures, not just one passage, but allow your scripture to speak to our hearts, Lord, because your word is truth, and it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to penetrate into the darkest and hardest areas of our lives. If we allow that, may we do that today. May we be confronted with that amazing grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You remember your life before you came to know Christ, before grace invaded your life. And you might have said, well, I was going along pretty good. I was doing all right. And yet I had some fears. I wasn't sure what was going on, the purpose of my life. I really didn't know what would happen when I died. There's a lot of things that go on in our lives before that. And I think remembering those things helps us to come and to come with a sense of thankfulness, of grace and of gratitude, because they go together. Grace should create gratitude in our lives. It should lead us to thanksgiving. As we think of this week of Thanksgiving, The grace of God should move us that way. The Apostle Paul, he's filled with praise. He loves to praise God, and he loves to give thanks and gratitude. I mean, when you read Paul, you can't help that. And so he writes a warning to Timothy, and boy, this warning just kind of echoes through our culture today, I think. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and here's the word, ungrateful, unholy. So let me ask you this. As we approach Thanksgiving Day, because Thanksgiving Day, you know, coming up Thursday, let me ask you, and I want you to answer this in your head. Do we live in a thankful or unthankful culture? Probably even Palm Beach could get that count right, I think, you know. You know? I think we live in a culture of a bunch of complainers, you know? I think so. Now, it's natural for someone who's never experienced the grace of God to be a complainer. I get that. I really do. Why not? I mean, you know, I understand that. But we are Christians, folks. We have experienced His grace in our lives. You see, that's a huge difference. They haven't experienced it like we have. We know better. This life, what we're living now, is preparation for eternity, right? For living with God. I love Rick Warren says that this life is dress rehearsal, you know, for life to come. And the point is, then we ought to start giving thanks now. Because let me tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be thanking and praising and worshiping God. Then we ought to start now, right? I mean, don't wait till then. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You knew I'd have to get there. We're talking about grace, right, sometime. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we get stuck on that one, all circumstances, don't we? And that's a toughie. But we thank Him for His presence and power here as we walk through that trial. It doesn't mean if you're a believer you won't have problems, because we do. It doesn't mean you won't have trials, because we do. But we have the grace of God. Christ Himself will walk through that with us. Going back to the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16:4. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to make petition. Here it is. To give thanks and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So these guys get the job. Now that's their assigned task. What I want you to do is to go before the God, before the Lord, and praise and give thanks. That's a pretty good gig, isn't it? That's a pretty good job. Just come before His presence with thanksgiving. That was their job. 2 Chronicles, same idea. Chapter 31, verse 2. To minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. Now that's what we can do, right? We can be part of that, to be people of praise and of thanksgiving. I really think this is true. I don't think you can be a victorious Christian without being a thankful one. Oh, you can be a Christian, but I don't think you're going to live a victorious life. You're not going to experience the joy of the Lord if we're not thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. You see, I like that. He says, thankful because why? He knows that God is leading him. Now, there's something about that. That we're not just wandering around, you know, we're not just this ball bouncing around in a pinball machine. If you're a follower of Christ, you understand God's leading you. Now, I don't know why He leads you through this valley or from that mountain. I don't always get that. I don't know why God's timing is always the way it is, but I understand it, that's true. He leads us. Most of you know we had a funeral here yesterday. Victoria Mormon was 100 years old. I went to see her earlier this month. Marcia and I had a good visit with her. She was sharp, still, you know. And the question was, why am I still here? I want to go home. Why am I here? And you know, the reason is because God wants you to be here. God's timing's perfect. You can pray for me. I had her pray for us. We made an agreement about that. And she was an encouragement to her caretakers that came in, to her family. Now, I don't know why God has certain things and certain paths for each of us. I really don't. But I know that when you follow him, he leads you. He guides you. He orders our days. We just got to follow him. And he says that he always leads. And then he says, in triumphal procession. You know, excuse me. The Romans, this would have clicked with that culture. Because they knew what a Roman parade of victory looked like. Man, it was massive. The people came out, the loot, the people marching down, the things. That's the idea that he leads us in this. And then I like the last part. Everywhere, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. You ever go by somebody they've got on really expensive, nice cologne or perfume or something, and they go by and think, wow, it's that fragrance. And he says, we ought to be people that have a fragrance. Now, you know, not right guard, but I mean a real fragrance, you know, just kind of a something, you know, that's who we are, to the knowledge of God. And so Paul says, man, I thank God because he leads me. He leads me in triumph. And he helps me to be a fragrance to people around me that they might know who Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that whole 15, that passage is about life and death, mortality and immortality. And he says, but thanks to God, I don't have to be afraid of dying. I don't have to be captive by fear because it's through Christ. The literal translation, the Greek translation of that is who keeps on giving us the victory. He keeps on giving us the victory, moment by moment, day by day. And so there's a real correlation there together, excuse me, of thanksgiving and victory. See, being thankful that what he does, they go together. You know what? It's not fun to be around people who are not grateful, is it? You ever been around people that just aren't grateful? They're just not thankful people. You know, I think there's a character out of C.S. Lewis like Puddle Glum. I said they're just like a Puddle Glum. You know, they're just always something's not right and just, you know, they're not thankful. They aren't happy. They're not joyful people. Yeah, but I'm right. Well, so what? You know? Joyful. Joyful. You want to know this morning what God's will for you is? What his will for you, particularly, right where you're sitting. God's will. We just got to go back, don't we, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will? That we are to be thankful people. But how do we do that? How do we become thankful? I want to go back to the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. When was the last time, well, think about this, when was the last time you considered the great things that God has done for you? You know, when was the last time you did that? When we aren't thankful, everything looks dark and cloudy. You know, everything kind of has a tinge to it of darkness, you know, when we don't see that. Because then we only see problems. And we're dominated by fear or anxiety or stress, you know, all stress. It all comes upon it. And that leads us into depression. When we're not thankful people, that's kind of a journey that we go on. And it takes a toll on us. It takes a toll on us mentally. Man, you just mentally get worn out. You get exhausted and emotionally and physically and spiritually. Let me give you a statistic. As of June 2018, suicide rates in the United States are up by 30% since 1999. 30%. Grateful people are are a lot happier and a lot healthier. And stress and all that will just, it'll take a toll on you. So get alone. Just get alone with God and just think about Him. Get a little perspective. And when you start to see things a little bit perspective, you can't help but be thankful. If you know the Lord today and you're in this auditorium, then my goodness, we ought to be thankful for our salvation, shouldn't we? Thank you. I got an amen. I like that. Boy, yeah, there you go. You know, thankful for what God has done in my life. Thankful that when I was a teenager, He reached down and touched my life. I knew the stories. I had a knowledge of God, but I never had received Christ as Savior until that moment. And the grace of God came and touched my life. And I met the Master, Betty, we were talking about. Met the Master. Man, everyone here should be thankful. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have eternity with God. We got a home in heaven, folks. And heaven on earth one day, right? The new heavens and the new earth. You want to be thankful for the grace of God that's come, that's given you opportunities. And opportunities. And you know, I'm thankful that God's grace has given me second chances, third chances, you know, and fourth. And that's His grace. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through Him. But you say, but can I really live that way? And it's hard to live that way when you're having a tough time, when you're struggling, when things aren't going your way, and bad doctor's reports, whatever it might be. And Paul understands that. He said, hey, I know tough times. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned, and I've been, you know, thrown in jail, and I've had a thorn in the flesh, and all these things have happened to me. And he's in prison, and he's writing and scribbling out a letter, and it's about gratitude and thankfulness. Wow. In the midst of that. See, here's the deal. This is how it works. Gratitude develops our faith. All right? Follow me on this. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises to help you out, right? To strengthen you, to care for you, to work all things out in your life for your good and His glory. It takes a growing faith to recognize that. You see, we know it here, but it takes a growing faith to connect, to get that, see? And it does. It develops our faith, gratitude. And here's why. Because it's based on a relationship with God, not upon our circumstances. That's what makes the difference. So that's why circumstances come and go, but our relationship with God, that's where it's based. That's where I'm growing in my faith through thanksgiving. Passage I read at almost every funeral I do. And it's just because one of my very favorite passages. And I think it speaks to this. It speaks to not circumstances, but relationship with God. And it's Romans 8. Start at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I don't care what circumstances you talk about. I don't care what it is. It's not going to separate you from God's love. And I can be thankful for that, can't you? I want to get real practical here for about 5 minutes. When should we be thankful? Well, all the time. Yeah, I get that. But let's look at just kind of a couple things here. And you might jot these down in your that. We just finished the introduction. Now we're getting into the mess. No, just kidding. I'll be breaking out the crackers if we do that, won't I? Okay. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Number one, when do we praise? or to give thanks in the morning. All right? In the morning. Write that in there. That's the time. Start, you know, the old idea, start with an attitude of gratitude. I've been doing this for some time now, and I try to do it every day, and most of the days I do. I'll lay in bed, and the alarm will go off, or Marshall kick me, or whatever it is. No, she's up before I am. But it'll go off, and I try to take a couple moments just to thank the Lord. Before I put my feet on the floor, I just want to say, God, thank you for a new day. Thank you for my family. God, thank you that you've ordered my steps today, and I can trust you. Thank you that, Jesus, you're going to walk through whatever valley I walk through today, and I have no idea what's going to happen. But you're already there ahead of me. Just take a few minutes, just thank him before you get out of bed, okay? Before you get out of bed, just take a few moments to thank him. That's number one. Second time I want you to be thankful is at night, okay? That's what the verse says there. Proclaim your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night. So when you lay down to go to sleep, and I got to do this one pretty quick because I go out pretty quick. Just lay down and say, God, thank you for this day. It was a rough day, Lord. There's a lot of trouble in people's hearts and lives today. But God, thank you that you were with me. Thank you, Lord, I can put my head down on this pillow. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Whatever. But take time and just thank him for his faithfulness to you that day. In Psalm 119, 62, it says, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? Some of you? I do on a trip to the restroom usually, but when you lay down, you wake up, just pray. You say, God, thank you. You know, God, you know what? Somebody came to my mind right now. Lord, I want to pray for them. Thank you for prompting me to do that. Thank you for reminding me to do that. And just if it's at midnight, whenever, just take a moment and pray. Well, when else? In Romans chapter 14, 6, it says, he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Number three, at mealtimes be thankful. Oh, you know, we always do that. No, be thankful for what God has provided. You know? And even if you're at a restaurant, it's okay to give thanks. You know, and I mean, really, just take, you don't have to do it, you know, so everybody around you, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. No, don't do it to put on a show for anybody, you know. If you do, tell them you're from a different church, right? But don't do the do for that. But also, don't do the one where you drop your napkin and you go, oh, thank you, you know, and give it. Just be simple and just say, God, thank you for you providing this. You've provided the means that I can have this food. If you're at a restaurant or at home, wherever it might be. Because it helps us to be thankful for the little things. And we take so much for granted. So he says there, give thanks for the food. Well, another one out of Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Number four, throughout the day. Throughout the day. Develop a spirit of thankfulness and praise. And what happens is it will push out the old baggage of complaining. Sometimes when at home, and let's say I have a bowl of chili or something for dinner, and I've eaten it all, but the bowl's still pretty dirty, I'll stick it in the sink, and I'll turn the spigot on it, turn on it, and the water's... And then I'll go grab something out of the refrigerator, or I'll grab the other dishes, I'll come back, and I give it enough time. It flushes all that out pretty well. I wipe it out and stick it in the dishwasher. It's kind of that idea that when you're praising throughout the day, it tends to push out or wash out all that old complaining and all that negative stuff because you're filling it with thanksgiving and worship. And what a change that makes in our life. But if we're just dwelling on that old crusty chili, that's where we live. That's how it stays. Man, flush that out. How? Through thanksgiving. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. Man, I'm going to let people know who he is. Revelation 11:16 and 17. and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God. They fell on their faces and they worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." That's who we come to. That's the privilege you and I have to worship, to praise, to thank him. Last fill in. Now is the time. This is the day. For what? And this is, I really want you guys to make a commitment today. I'm really pushing 100% commitment that we choose to be men and women of thankfulness and grace. Now, I want you to make that commitment. In a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and you don't have to come forward. I'm not saying that. But I want you to make a commitment that, God, I am going to be a man or a woman of thankfulness and grace. That's going to characterize who I am. Because, God, you've told me I need to be thankful. Now, if you can't, you can't, okay? You talk it out to God, and God will work on you, and you just kind of work that out with him. But it's a commitment, folks. It's a decision to be that way. You decide what you put your mind upon. You decide the thoughts that you have. You decide, I want to be a person of thankfulness. I want to be a person of grace. And I love it out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. Right? Shake your head. Yeah, okay. So we got so much to be thankful for as we enter this week of Thanksgiving. I want you to really make that choice. God, to the best of my ability and with your help and your prompting, I want to be a thankful person. And I want to be a gracious person. Because that's who you've called me to be. Fact is, your will for me is that I give thanks. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'll be thankful people. We can certainly thank you for providing a way that we can have a relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sin upon himself, who died in our place, who was dead, buried, rose from the grave, that we might not just know those facts, but we might receive you, Lord. For you said, for as many as receive you, to them gave you the right to become children of God. That's us. And I pray if there's someone here today who's never made that decision, never stepped across that line, they know all of the things, but they've never put it into action. They've never trusted you as their Savior and asked you to forgive them of their sin and be their Lord and Savior. I pray that today, right now, they would make that decision, Lord. And others of us, it's so easy to get caught up in the minutiae of life and lose that joy and that thanksgiving, that gratitude. Oh, God, may that be rekindled in our heart today. And may we really make that a commitment, a decision that today I'm going to be a thankful person, a gracious person. Because, Lord, as I get alone with you, I have so much to be grateful for. All of us do. Help us to focus on that, to praise and to worship, to bring adoration to you. So whatever decision needs to be made in a person's heart today, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit speaking to them right now. And they're not going to argue with you. They're just going to say yes. And they're going to follow you. And they're going to make those decisions. For their good, but God, mainly for your glory. For no matter if the rain comes or what happens, God, we want to praise you with our lives. We thank you for your presence. You're walking over with us, walking through those things. And Lord Jesus, we love you. So may this week be one of gratitude. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.